بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable علماء الكرام, respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, when it comes to the تعلقات, the bond and the relationships that this insan enjoys during the course of his worldly life, we find that this can be divided into two very distinct categories and groups. On one hand, we have the bond and the relationship that this insan enjoys with the fellow makhluk and creation of Allah. Husband and wife share a very special bond. Father and son have a very special relationship. A person enjoys a different relationship and ta'alluq with his neighbors. Likewise, a person shares a relationship with his work colleagues. And in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter upon chapter has been written, encouraging a person to strengthen and maintain these relationships in his life. We find books have been written and authored on the topic of silatul rahim, joining family ties. Likewise, books have been authored on the topic of jiran, the rights of a person's neighbors. And by and large, a person is encouraged to display good akhlaq, good character to each and every person that he meets during the course of his worldly life. And this, we understand the importance of maintaining and strengthening our ta'alluq and our link with people. But on the other hand, we have the link, the ta'alluq, the bond, the relationship that this insan enjoys with his Khaliq, with his Creator, with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And just as we understand the importance of strengthening our relationship with people, it is equally, if not more important, that our relationship with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu must also be strong. And for this, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us specifically the month of Ramadan, where each and every person will acknowledge during the month of Ramadan, if I take muhasabah and account of myself, what was my link with Allah before the month of Ramadan and what do I enjoy now during the month of Ramadan? We all know where previously it was difficult to open the Quran Sharif. Now to read para upon para becomes easy and pleasurable. Where it was difficult to come to the masjid for fard salah, now to stand up for tahajjud salah becomes easy. Where it was difficult to abstain from guna and sin, now to leave and give up my bad habits has become that much more easy for me. The environment is conducive, the masjid is full, people are fasting, people are engaged in the recitation of Quran, programs are taking place, and a person will feel slowly within his heart a change is coming. He will feel that contentment and sukoon. Now when he sits on the musalla at night and raises his hands before Allah, he will feel that really Allah is listening to my dua. Really Allah is showering his rahmat and mercy upon me. And that link and relationship with Allah is being built and strengthened. But together with this, my respected brothers and elders, each and every one of us should have that fear and concern in our heart. That when the month of Ramadan comes to an end, whatever esteem I have built up during the month of Ramadan, shaitan mal'oon must not cause me to retrogress and move backwards. Like how Mu'anayim Sahib had mentioned a few years back, during the last few days of the month of Ramadan, a youngster had come, crying and weeping. And he mentioned that, Mulana, the month of Ramadan is about to come to an end. And during the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, I had managed to give up all my evil habits. But I am afraid, I know once the month of Ramadan comes to an end, and I will leave the masjid environment, and I will go outside, I know all those skeletons that are waiting for me. All those bad habits of mine that are waiting to entrap me once again. When now the doors of Jahannam that were shut closed are now open once again. And those shayateen that were chained up are now unchained. And shaitan will make an all-out attack on the iman of a person. If he had taken five steps forward, shaitan will make him take 10 steps backwards. And we all know the month of Shawwal comes, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. And before we know it, we are reading, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan. We are facing the next Ramadan. And when we take stock of ourselves, where I am now is exactly where I was last year. All that progress during the month of Ramadan has come to nothing. So each and every person has this fear, this concern within his heart, that what I have built up during the month of Ramadan, I must not lose. The first point to take note of, my respected brothers and elders, is that when it comes to the levels we have set for ourselves in the month of Ramadan, this is not something that we will easily be able to take out of the month of Ramadan. The hadith is very clear. إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرُ جَدَّ وَشَدَّ الْمِئْزَرُ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, he would exert himself more than normal. In other words, the level of his ibadat during the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan was different to how it was outside the month of Ramadan. Therefore, perhaps now I am reading 5 paras of Quran every day. And outside the month of Ramadan, to read one para may be difficult. This should not cause a person to become despondent and lose hope. This is the system of Allah. Inna lillahi lanafahat. Allah has different seasons during the year where it becomes easy and conducive for a person to obey Him and for a person to exert himself in the worship and the obedience of Allah. But at the same time, that Allah consciousness and fear of Allah, where a person found it easy to give up his bad habits, this we should not lose after the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our mashayikh and our ulama who have given us simple and easy prescriptions, that if you practice upon this, that relationship and friendship you have built with Allah will be maintained. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu would mention 4 actions that a person should take special care to do. And specifically after the month of Ramadan, when that relationship has been built with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would say if a person does these 4 actions, and come what may, he takes special care, that I must not lose out on these 4 things, then that relationship with Allah will be maintained. And Allah will make it easy for him to practice on the rest of deen. Not just to practice on the rest of deen, but it will become enjoyable and pleasurable for him. And then he would say these 4 actions, a very simple and basic prescription. Today we search for very complex solutions. A person is sick and his grandmother says to him, take some honey water and drink, take some lemon. He'll say, where am I going to take this? Where is going to help me? But if the doctor writes a long prescription out for him, you must do this and take this medication at that time and take it in this method and this way, he has yaqeen and conviction upon that. That is on its place. So he would say this is a very simple and easy prescription. But at the same time, in today's time, it becomes very difficult and challenging to implement. 4 actions, 2 external and 2 internal actions. By virtue of a person taking care of these things, Allah will protect his relationship with him. The first action he would say is, come what may, ensure that I keep a full sunnat, first length beard. This is something the fuqaha of all the madahib agree, that it is not permissible for a person to remove and trim his beard less than a first length. Unfortunately, these things have to be spoken about, my respected brothers and elders. We have to understand the severity of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those 2 ministers came into his court, clean shaven with long mustaches, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned his face away from them. What is this? How are you dressed? How is your appearance? They said, our Rabb, our leader has commanded us to dress like this and to appear like this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, my Rabb has commanded me differently. It should not be that in the grave also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turns his face away from us. On the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns his face away from us. To understand how important it is to maintain that sunnat identity. On a lighter note, they mentioned one Maulana was leaving the masjid. And he had a tasbih in his hand, his head was down, he was making the dhikr of Allah. And he walks past, there's a person leaning against the door of his car outside. So the Maulana walks past him and he nods at him. So the person flares up, Mauli sahab, where's your akhlaq gone to? You can't make salam also. So the Maulana looks at him, he says, brother, make me maaf. But outwardly I can't see any signs of deen of Islam on you. You've got no sunnat libas and I didn't know whether you're Muslim or not. So he grabs hold of the Maulana's hand. He takes him to the front of his car. He says, can't you see 786 number plate, I'm a Muslim. So the Maulana says to him, brother, I can see your car is a Muslim. But whether you are Muslim, that I don't know. So it should not be my car is a Muslim. My cell phone number is a Muslim. But my Islamic identity is nowhere to be seen. There was an alim from Sri Lanka who had come to our country many years back. And he explaining the importance of the sunnat identity, he mentioned this incident. That many years back when the tsunami had taken place in Sri Lanka, and thousands of people had lost their lives, and now all those bodies were left on the beachfront area, and the department had come and cordoned off that area. And there was this fear that some virus or some germs may spread from those bodies. So no one was allowed access to that area. So he says, as a group of ulama, we got together and we approached the department. As a jamiat, we went forward that our Muslim brothers and sisters are lying there for days on end. And in our deen, our culture, we have to bury them as soon as possible. So give us permission to retrieve the Muslim bodies. So he says, the question that that official posed to me left me completely dumbfounded. I had no answer for him. He said, how are you going to identify the Muslim bodies from the non-Muslim bodies? So the army was sent in. And these ulama went with the soldiers of the army. And he says, those bodies where we could identify some form of Islam on them. The man had a full sunnat beard. He was wearing a kurta, he had a topi on his head perhaps. That woman was in full hijab and niqab, she had a burqa over her head. Then we were given permission to retrieve those bodies, give them ghusl, kafan and dafan. And then he said, we watched with heavy hearts. Those friends of ours who we knew had iman. But because there was no proof of their iman, the government didn't allow us to take their bodies. He says, we watched with heavy hearts as huge tractors came and picked up those bodies and dumped them into the mass graves. Muslim on one side, Hindu on one side, Christian next to him. And the graves were covered up in this way. They passed away and they left this world. It should not be that I also find Malakul Maut finds me. And there is no outer sign of Islam on me. So the first action he would say, a person should take care to maintain a full sunnat beard. Secondly, he would say, very important that my garment must remain above my ankles at all time. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear. Ma asfala min al-ka'bayn fa fin nar. Hadith of Bukhari Sharif, that part of a person's body which is covered beneath his ankle, the garment is covering that portion beneath his ankle, it will burn in the fire of Jahannam. This is not a small statement, the wa'id is very severe. It should not be for that few inches of skin I put in jeopardy my entire akhirat. Many people have the misconception that in salah my ankles must be exposed. But outside of salah I can dress as I wish. Remember, the West will tell us different things. As one alim mentioned, the entire culture has turned upside down. In our country also, if a person is driving on the right-hand side of the road, the police officer will stop him and say, you're on the wrong side. And if he's driving on the left side, he'll say, you're on the right side. So everything is upside down. But now our shariat, our deen, the women have been encouraged that keep your garments low. Whereas the West are saying the women must lift it up as far as they can. Above the ankle, above the knee, the higher the better. Where our shariat, our trend, our style, our culture is from the threshold of nubuwwat. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us is perfect. There is no need for anything else to borrow from any other culture and custom. So these two external actions, he would say, to maintain a full fustlent beard and to keep the garment above the ankles at all times, and two internal actions which are very challenging and difficult. That a person protects and safeguards his gaze at all times. He should not look at haram. He should not abuse his gaze. The lustful glance is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. How he will cause a person to lose his entire iman. One glance that a person looks at an mahram woman and some spark is created. Before you know it, his entire mind is gone. He finds no more enjoyment in his halal wife. His children now, he finds no more enjoyment in looking at them. And that entire home is ripped apart. So the one internal action to protect his gaze. And lastly, to protect his mind and his heart. That he should not fantasize and entertain evil thoughts. These four actions, he would say, if a person takes special care to practice upon them. After the month of Ramadan, whatever steam we have built up, that link, that ta'alluq, relationship with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, that each and every person, no matter what the level of his iman may be, no matter where he stands, or where he was before the month of Ramadan, but he knows how easy it has become for me in the month of Ramadan. Whatever level a person may be upon, but the progress I have made, I must not lose. If a person will take special care that these four actions we will bring into our life, and of course that a person makes utmost effort to abstain from the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he said that link, that ta'alluq, that relationship with Allah jalla jalaluhu will be maintained. It will be strengthened, as they say in this world, after a long month of Ramadan, fasting during the day, standing for Taraweeh Salah at night, that youngster when he receives the news that the moon for Eid has been sighted, what joy goes through his heart, tomorrow is Eid day. I'll get to wear my special clothing, special food will be served, I'll collect my Eid envelope also from my parents and grandparents. The joy and pleasure that goes through his heart, if we will live our lives in this world like the month of Ramadan, as we exerted ourselves, as we made sure we came to the masjid, we abstained and gave up all our evil habits, if we will live our life in this world, the entire year, as though it is the month of Ramadan, the day Malakul Maut will come to us, the day our eyes will close, the joy that will go through the heart will be as though it is the day of Eid also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Accept all our ibadat thus far during the month of Ramadan. If Laylatul Qadr has passed, Allah give us the full reward. If it is still to come, Allah allow us to catch Laylatul Qadr and to be from those whose souls are emancipated from the fire of Jahannam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.